This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities taking a look at the wheat markets for Tuesday, August 15th. Well, another rough day in the wheat space yesterday with Kansas City and Chicago both taking out some key support levels. Minneapolis kind of getting back down and testing a congestion area. But Kansas City got all the way back down to the early May low. In fact, took it out by one tick. So here we are at major support in Kansas City after hovering just above that support for about a week and a half here over the last couple weeks. And in Chicago, we seem to be finding some support at the July low, but that was taken out yesterday, and we got closer to that late May low. So here we are. We're just at some, you know, in Kansas City, we're at major support levels, and the other two markets, we're approaching them pretty fast. You know, we're in the harvest of the Northern Plains, getting some pretty good yields out of winter wheat and spring wheat, and we still have a long way to go in North Dakota. So it's still going to see, I think, some pressure here as we work our way through the harvest. I don't expect that we'll see a lot of pressure coming from Canada, just simply because they had a much different crop, a shorter crop than we have here in the U.S. Northern Plains. But wheat is succumbing to the pressure of harvest here in the United States and across the rest of the Northern Hemisphere. Russian FOB offers have continued to be very competitive. They're capturing most of the business around North Africa and the Middle East. There is, their ruble has just collapsed, which means it's going to be all that much cheaper to buy Russian wheat, and they're expected to dominate those key markets over the next few months at least. Russia did raise their interest rates in some kind of an effort to support the ruble, but they're struggling. You know, the war is taking a toll. The sanctions are finally having their major bite on the Russian economy. They raised their interest rates 3.5%, took it up to 12% to try to support their currency. Now, if their economy collapses, you know, who knows what will go on with grain exports. I think that will probably ramp up even more in an effort to generate some capital. But I think that, you know, even without that, you know, they're expected to dominate. Now, when it comes to high pro hard milling wheat, they'll be able to supply some, but their proteins are coming in lower than average. So really, it pulls buyers back to the North America, potentially Argentina if they can get some rain here soon. But it's still looking like a tight supply of high-grade milling wheat around the world for this marketing year. At the same time, we saw Russia increasing interest rates. China is decreasing rates just slightly, 0.15%, taking it down to 2.5%. Their economy is definitely sliding. They are not rebounding the way most other countries did after coming out of COVID lockdowns. And the worry is that that contagion is going to come here to the United States. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, I think the problem there is that if China slips into a recession, which a lot of economists are saying they're already in, it's going to slow down demand, and that would include ag products. So that's definitely a red flag being thrown up there. So you got more pressure coming from Russia. You've got the worry about Chinese demand. At the same time, you've got just spectacular weather in the Midwest that has bumped up crop condition ratings by a huge amount. It's remarkable to see the crop condition ratings for corn, good to excellent, was up 12 points at 59% nationwide. For soybeans, they were up 4 points, also at 59%. This late in the growing season, normally your crop conditions are declining, but to see a jump by that magnitude is kind of breathtaking, to be honest. Now, we're looking at a wave of heat coming into the Central Plains and the Western and Southern Midwest. It's probably going to shave back some yields, stress the crops a little bit, but you're past the critical pollination phase. So while this could have an impact, it wouldn't be near the impact had this occurred 3 or 4 weeks ago for corn, and even just a couple weeks ago for soybeans. So those row crops in the major part of the growing region of the United States dodged a huge bullet this year. It's just been wicked hot across the Southern Plains, the Southwest. You know, the heat kind of moved in and out of the Midwest, but it never really stuck, and especially during that key pollination time period. But boy, you know, it had the heat right before it, and then it turns cool during pollination, and now the heat's coming back in right after pollination. Mother Nature definitely throwing producers a bone here. But again, we're probably going to see some stress. We'll probably see some yield declines. But again, it's not going to have near the impact that it would have had it occurred during pollination. Crop progress, winter wheat harvest, moving along. Montana sitting at 70%. That's up 28 points from last week and 5 points ahead of the average. Spring wheat harvest nationwide at 24%. That's up 13 points from last week and 4 points behind the average. Montana's at 39%. That's 11 points ahead of the average. North Dakota's only at 13%, which is 7 points behind the average. Just taking a quick look at weather. Again, we kind of already discussed that here in the Northern Hemisphere. Southern Hemisphere, starting to pay more attention to what's going on in Argentina and Australia as those wheat crops come out of dormancy. We're still looking at dryness in Argentina, and that is causing some concern, obviously. But, you know, they're coming off of 3 consecutive years of drought, just horrible production for them. And, you know, with El Nino in a pretty strong position, normally that brings more rain to Argentina. That has yet to happen. And so we're pretty concerned about what's going on there. It's still very early, but clearly paying very close attention. And just the opposite for Australia. They've had 3 monster crops in a row because of La Nina. El Nino typically would bring more dry conditions to the key wheat growing areas there. They seem to be already seeing the impact of that. So you've got dryness developing in Argentina and dryness lingering in Argentina. It's still early, but you don't want to see either one of these weather patterns continue, or we got a problem in the Southern Hemisphere. For now, I think, you know, the short term, until we get through the bulk of spring wheat harvest, I think that, you know, the wheat market just struggles here. Unless you start bombing Russian ports, which Ukraine is trying to do, but you have to disrupt the flow of Russian wheat before you really change the picture of the wheat space, at least in the short term. Longer term, I think we still move higher into the fall once we get through the summer seasonal low. I think demand for high-pro wheat is going to stay strong. It's going to continue to support Kansas City, Minneapolis versus Chicago, unless Russia gets disrupted in their grain flow. And then I think Chicago takes over, just simply because that's your more liquid market and that's where the big traders will want to be. So I think all the wheat markets move higher into the fall, targeting early October, which is a normal seasonal pattern. And then you get into the harvest of the Southern Hemisphere, and then you put in some seasonal lows in late November. Sometimes it stretches to late December. Then you get another late winter run, typically. But for now, I think we still have some pressure to go. Could be finding some support down here. I would think we would, but we'll probably just pace sideways until you get through the bulk of this spring wheat harvest in the Northern Hemisphere. If you have any questions, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.